of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So what are you thankful for today on this beautiful fall day in this beautiful worship space we're so fortunate to have? Pause for a moment. What are you particularly thankful for right now, this morning? Well, I'm thankful just to be here. I'm thankful for the gift of another day of life. I'm thankful that I've just had a wonderful 2 weeks in the Netherlands. Saw fabulous things. Met more of my wife's family, and then a great second week where my two sons were able to join us to make it especially great. I'm thankful that I had a warm bed to sleep in last night and a roof over my head and food in the pantry to eat, unlike some folks, right? And of course, I'm so thankful that I've had the privilege of serving for the last 9 months as your interim rector in this very special place. So, again, what are you thankful for this morning? And would anybody be bold enough to share something that you're thankful for this morning, Lee?
I'm thankful.
Well, we're thankful that we didn't get whacked by Hurricane Ian, and we pray and remember all the victims that it did get. Yes, we were spared, thanks be to God. Yes, Mike. Oh, thanks be to God. Your daughter was saved, protected. Any other thanksgivings this morning? Yes? No? Well, I'm going to hope that that doesn't mean that no one else is thankful for anything this morning, that you all have things in your lives that are going on that are good. Interestingly, the last time I preached on this very same gospel was 3 years ago when I was serving in the Anglican Church of Canada. And it was particularly appropriate for that day because in Canada, Thanksgiving is tomorrow. It's early. And in fact, one of the great things about being an American living in Canada is you get to celebrate Thanksgiving twice. There's the sort of real Thanksgiving in November, and then there's the Canadian Thanksgiving in early October. And then I discovered that I also preached on this same gospel way back in 2007. I think it was my second Sunday as the rector of St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Mount Lebanon, sort of a companion parish to Christ Church, right? And, I just started. Now, I have to confess, there is a link between when I preached on this gospel 15 years ago, when I preached on it 3 years ago, and when I'm preaching on it this morning. And that link, of course, is gratitude and stewardship. Right? So that's the reason why I wanted to begin by reflecting on what I pray we're all thankful for this morning, in trying to adopt an attitude of gratitude. So let's dive a bit into this morning's gospel, because even though it's short, it's packed with stuff that we might not otherwise recognize. Now, The story begins on sort of an odd note. Luke tells us that Jesus was traveling through the region. He was on the way to Jerusalem, right? And he is going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. Well, the funny thing is, there is no region between Samaria and Galilee. And this is one of the reasons why commentators think that Luke's knowledge of the geography of the Holy Land was a little bit lacking, because Galilee ends and Samaria begins. But he's on his way. He's got a long way to go. He's got a whole bunch of chapters left before he hits Jerusalem. And we'll give Luke the benefit of the doubt. He's kind of in that border region, and maybe there are some Samaritans living on the edge of Galilee, and there's some Galileans living on the edge of Samaria. We have to understand about leprosy in order to get the full significance of this morning's gospel, right? So at the time of Jesus, anyone who had what they considered to be leprosy would be a total outcast, would be forced to live totally separately from one's family, one's village, one's community. They would be required to, if they came close to anyone else, they'd have to shout out to warn people. They were basically considered living dead. And the sad fact is that that included a bunch of conditions that today we know are relatively harmless, that aren't leprosy at all, you know. Psoriasis may be difficult to live with, but to the best of my knowledge, it doesn't kill you. So there are all kinds of skin conditions that they would call leprosy, but they wouldn't necessarily be Hansen's disease, the real killer, the real problem. And once diagnosed with leprosy, you were as good as dead. And the only way you could get restored to community would be if a priest were to look at you and declare you to be free of leprosy. We also have to remember how Jews felt about Samaritans to fully appreciate this morning's gospel. We will recall that, generally speaking, Jews despised Samaritans for reasons I won't go into again this morning. It's the reason why, when understood properly, that the parable of the Good Samaritan is so shocking, right? Because there was no such thing as a Good Samaritan according to the Jews. So, get back into the story. Jesus enters the village. There are 10 lepers, a big community of walking dead, you might say, keeping their distance, which they were required to do. They call out, they give their warning. But the interesting thing is they recognize Jesus. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They know who he is, they've heard about him, and they're hoping that he's going to do another miracle. Well, Luke says, when he saw them, when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. Well, two things. Well, of course he saw them. We think that Luke says that to emphasize that Jesus really saw them as human beings and not like the invisible walking dead as they were considered by most people. Okay? And then he tells them to go see the priests because that's how they have to get their ticket punched. They have to get their health certificate from the priest. So they get healed as they're walking away, but they won't get invited back into the community until they have the say-so of the priest. And then, of course, the climax of the story. One of them turns back, praises God with a loud voice, throws himself at Jesus' feet, prostrates himself, worships Jesus, thanks Jesus. And the kicker, he was a Samaritan. Now, Luke doesn't explicitly tell us that the other nine are Jews, but that's the implication. A little unusual for Jews and Samaritans to be together, but I guess in this case, their common misery of being outcasts outweighed their natural enmity for each other. And Jesus asked the famous question, a rhetorical question, were not 10 made clean? But the other nine, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God, except for this foreigner? Wow. And then Jesus says, according to our translation, to the now healed Samaritan, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Well, that's not a great translation, because the other nine have been made well as well. They've all been healed. But what Jesus is saying, you, Samaritan, have been saved. The others healed, you have been saved. Today is the official launch of our annual stewardship campaign. Now, you may have received a letter in the mail already. I'm not sure how that happened. It was supposed to go out on Friday so that you would receive it like tomorrow. But anyway, you've had advance notice of the gist of the stewardship campaign. As I said in my Rainbow article, stewardship is about far more than just money, right? Stewardship is broadly understood as about how we care for God's creation, how we care for ourselves, how we care for other people, and really how we live our lives. What are our priorities? How do we use our time, our energy, our talents, and yes, our assets, our resources, our money. But for this period, the focus, frankly, is on money. Now, some would say, well, we really need you to pledge because that's the only way that we're going to be able to continue having our church. You've got to give money so we can have a budget for the coming year. Otherwise, we got to close our doors. Okay, there is some truth to that. Yes, it does cost money to carry out the mission and ministries of this or any other church. Right? Got to pay the bills, pay the staff, do the work. But I believe that there is much more to giving than that. See, I think it's not just that we give to a need, like the budget. I think we have a need to give. I pray that we give in grateful thanksgiving for all that God has given us and blessed us with. That we recognize that all that we are and all that we have are a gift from God. So, as we enter this stewardship season, and we ask every person in the parish to make a generous pledge to the parish for the coming year, I pray that you all will respond. You know, not because you have to, not out of a sense of obligation, not out of a sense of guilt, but I hope the desire to be part of the mission and ministry of this wonderful parish, and to say, I'm committed. This is my place. This is my vehicle for helping to meet the needs of not just this parish, but our community, our nation, and our world through the various ministries that we carry out here. Now, obviously, we also give to community organizations and national organizations that do the work of Jesus Christ in the world. But fundamentally, this is our part. This is how we first and foremost do the work of Jesus Christ in the world. So I pray that everyone will respond out of generosity and gratitude. So what does this morning's gospel say to us in this context? What is the message? What is God suggesting to us? Well, first, I hope that, like Jesus, we too will see the opportunities, will see the needs of the parish, will see the needs of the community and beyond, and that we will respond accordingly. I pray that you will see the opportunities presented in this coming year with a new rector. And remember the theme of our transition, the theme of our stewardship campaign is God is saying to us, see, I am making all things new. And God wants to use each and every one of us to help change the nightmares of this world into God's dream for this world. And I pray that like the Samaritan, we too can praise God for all of God's blessings and that we can be thankful. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And that we can respond accordingly. You know, we have this incredible gift of life, of love, of forgiveness, the promise of eternal life. Priceless. Can never be repaid. The good news, it's free. But still we can respond in gratitude and grateful thanksgiving for all that God has given us. So that's my final prayer. Please think, pray, consider, what are you able to do? What can you give to advance the mission and ministries of Christ Episcopal Church? Amen.